And greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. This is an unedited Sabbath service that we do up in Fairfield. Once in a while, we also do it in Hollister. Now, this past week, I was sent this big publication from Kashan, Aleye, I think is how you would pronounce it, from Ethiopia. And he's finished translating the faithful version in Ethiopic, which is really called Hamalek. And Hamalek comes from their father, Ham. Now, to give you an idea of what Hamalek looks like, he did everything here's some of the commentary here. And of course, it's all Hamalek to me. So I'll pass down these two pages. He got it all done, and he has a printer in Ethiopia that will print them for $8 a piece. So we sent them $2,000 to have them done. Now, the way that they have, let me tell you about overseas mail. About 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, they stopped the slow boat mail overseas. Everything goes by air. So to mail a book this size over to Ethiopia would cost about $200. So what we do now with people overseas, since we have so many things on the website, and we're about ready to get our digital version of the Bible as well, and we have some digital version of the other books, we encourage them to use the website. That would be the most propitious and effective way to do it. And because a lot of those, especially from Nigeria is a country of crooks, even Christian crooks. So they write in and say, oh, help us with this. Our building burned down, you know. And they know good bleeding hearts America. They'll look at a picture and say, oh, that's terrible. We better send them some money. And what they did, they took a picture of a riot, you know, somewhere in one of their villages or the results of a war between tribes and send that. And that here then they have, you know, $8,000 for their own use to do what they do. And it's known internationally, if you've seen any of the, National Geographic or History Channel on it, it is known that Nigeria is the most... how shall we say, crooked, the most crooked country in the world for identity theft, asking for money, you know, really knowing how to con people out of money. So when the pressure really got on them, what they did, they changed where they were doing their computer business in order to carry on their confidence game of taking money. So what they did, they moved over to Benin, which is the country right next to it, and they set up their operation in the, you know, the computer coffee shops and so forth. So anyway, our policy is now that if overseas you want something, then use the website. We have everything on the website, and we'll have the digital version of some of the books for you as we go along. So that should help out a great deal. Now, another thing that we are going to do to add to Church at Home is, which is what was suggested by Roy Asante at the Elders Conference, was this. We need some basic Bible study, printed out Bible studies, for brand new people, like they come on Church at Home. So he volunteered and Greg Paxton volunteered to work up these beginning lessons for new people. And what we're going to do, there's another woman, I don't have the email right here, but she lives down in Tasmania. And I wrote her an email and I said, do you think it's possible for you to transcribe the half-hour programs of Church at Home and we'll send you a copy of how to transcribe them. And if it looks good, then we'll send it on to Roy and to Greg and let them start working up the lesson. So on Church at Home, then we can say, here's a Bible course lesson number one. You can download it. And I think they'll probably try and work it up, question, answer, look up the scripture. And then we can have them come back after they are done with the lesson and key in to check their answers to see how they're doing. And I think that that'll work pretty good because, as we know, when people first start out, they get very enthusiastic. And of course, they are used to whenever you come into things that like Christian church or understanding of God, we run off to church immediately and somehow this is going to benefit you. Well, it will benefit people coming straight out of the world to a certain extent. But then the problem is they reach a certain level and nothing goes beyond that. So what we want to do with these correspondence lessons is for them to study their Bible. This will help them study their Bible. This will help them to begin to prove things the way they need to. Plus, it'll be there worldwide 24/7. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to become some big, big thing in the world. But it does mean we're doing our part in the way that God is leading us to do so that we can provide the truth for those people. Now, God can cause people to come to our websites. Now, an update on CBCG website. We've had for years a Spanish section there, and we averaged about 5,000 to 7,000 hits a month on the Spanish section that we had. But now we have a man who's developed a full Spanish-speaking Christian Biblical Church of God website. His name is Miguel Mercia, and he lives in Toronto, Canada. And he has been translating all of the material that we have, and now he has come across something that he might be able to do quite well, which is this. With videos, there is a method of putting in a caption below. So he sent us a sample of what that would be. So maybe this will help expand that. But we just recently transferred all requests for Spanish material over to our Spanish-speaking website. And that dropped down the number of people numerically that were coming to cbcg.org. However, we have since added probably over 100 video sermons that we've done in the past, beginning with the very first one we did at Ed and Joan's apartment down there in West Los Angeles on Washington Boulevard, 11871 Washington Boulevard. Yes. And that first one was when they first came out with the VHS camera. And I came there one Sabbath because I come down once a month. And Ed was there and he said, look what I got. Let's do a test. So did a half hour test of a program. And I think I started out and said, this is a test. Yeah, and look what we have now doing this video recording here. We have a small handheld camera type thing that has a chip in it, and it records it, and we go on from there, and we're going to gradually increase it for the number of people that we have on our mailing list. But anyway, with cbcg.org now, what has happened is this. With the videos, all the videos we have on there, we have more than made up for the number of people that have shifted over to the Spanish section because they are downloading and watching all the old videos. So we have more than made up for it, but we're getting close. We have right about 5,000 people a month drawing down the hour and a half sermons that we have online. So between the both of them, we're getting a lot of material out there. So we hope that with the other things we're doing with Church at Home, and we're just about ready to start advertising on the internet, Church at Home. And I think, how many here watch Glenn Beck? Okay, some of you watch Glenn Beck. If you haven't watched him, it might be good to watch what he does. I think he is doing some very interesting things in trying to help the political situation in America. How far that will go, we will have to see. But he has said, number one, we have to get back to the Constitution. Number two, in our personal lives, we have to be right with God. And that fits in exactly with what Church at Home is all about. You find out about God and the truth at home so you can get your life squared around now in this evil and wicked world. So I think that'll fit in real good with what we're doing. Right, today we are going to have a study which I entitled, Will the Real Moses Stand Up? Now, there's a great deal of confusion in Christianity today as to how to handle the laws and commandments of God that he gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel. And one of the most difficult sections which we have covered before in trying to understand this is Galatians, the third chapter. Well, we won't go there at the present time. I've done that recently. So what I want to do this time is start out with something very important for us to realize. Let's come back here to Deuteronomy 18. Now, Deuteronomy 18 is also talking about Moses himself and a prophecy of Jesus. Deuteronomy 18. Now, let's also answer another question, which is this. Did God give Moses secret oral instructions which were not written down in the first five books of what we have in the Bible today? And were those to be used by the inner circle of the ones who would become rabbis to teach people other things concerning the law of God? Well, Moses himself answered the question in the instructions from God in Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 12. You can turn there later. But in Deuteronomy 4, he says, "You shall keep the commandments and laws and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has given you, and you shall not go to the right hand or to the left hand." In Deuteronomy 12, he said, don't go to the nations around you and ask, how did they worship their gods, and will do likewise to the Lord. You shall not do so to the Lord your God. You shall not add to or take away from. So that helps. That's the basic answer to the question concerning Judaism, which, by the way, on Wednesday this coming week, we're going to send everything off to the printer to have the book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men. It's all finished. And by the way, in the way of printing, we also have ordered the paper and sent the funds to China to do the second edition of the paperback version of the Bible. And then following that, We won't get the Bible till about October, because it takes a long time to get the paper. They have to make it in Spain and ship it down through, you know, the Suez Canal and avoid the Somalia pirates and make its way through the Straits of Malacca and on up to Hong Kong, which then takes about 6 weeks after it's taken about 4 weeks to manufacture the paper. So we will get that sometime in October. Then we are just about ready to send off and print for the third edition of the Passover book. Now, I'm going to put in my letter this month a coupon that you can fill out and return back if you want the third edition. Now, what we did with the third edition, we updated all the scriptures, or most all the scriptures from the King James Version and the Shocken Bible. We retained some of them for the points of teaching, but we put in there all the verses from the Faithful Version. We added a couple of appendices to it, so it's going to be 500 and some pages like the other one. We've reduced the size down from 8.5 by 11 to 7 by 10, and from hardcover to softcover, make it easier to handle and so forth. So we'll put a coupon in the letter. So all you have to do is return the coupon, and when we get it printed and back, we'll get it off to you. However, we should have the one on Judaism done within about 4 to 6 weeks. And when that's done, we will have a copy mailed to everyone who's on the mailing list automatically. So if you're on the mailing list, you won't have to worry about, will you get a copy of the book, Judaism? Is it a revelation of Moses or a religion of men? And this is one of the most needed books in trying to answer the problems and questions that evangelical Christianity has today. Because they have come from the time of the founding of the fathers, where they actually believed the Bible, although they didn't have the background that we have today to understand about the Sabbath, and they still retained Sunday. However, there were Sabbath keepers who came over on the Mayflower. And one of the reasons that some of the Christians were persecuted in England and they went to Holland was because they were keeping the Sabbath. So there are always a few people who kept the Sabbath. But nevertheless, the founders prayed to God, studied the Bible, used the Word of God, used the principles out of it, and as far as a human government constitution, created the best one to date. Now, it's not the founding fathers who did that, although it was accomplished through them. The reason that the United States of America is what it is today is because of the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's why we're a great nation, because God prophesied it would be. Now remember this, all the promises of God were guaranteed by himself there in Genesis 22 when he said, I swear by myself that in blessing I will bless and I will bless you, and that your seed shall multiply as the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. And so really, we're here as a result of that, in addition to the United States being the modern remnant of the 10 tribes of Israel. And there are from all of the 12 tribes of Israel, all the descendants of the original Israel that stood before God at Mount Sinai. That's why we have the Bible. That's why it is done in English. And English, along with Greek, are very particular, precise languages. Much more precise than other languages. Now, just to give you an example here. We have a woman in the church down in Arcadia who, she's Armenian, and they were chased out of Russia. They escaped Russia because the Russians took over Armenia. And they know exactly what's happening in America because they saw it happen in Armenia. And her mother and father are also over here. And her mother and father are getting interested in the truth, so she's doing some translation from the Faithful Version into Armenian. And we've had difficulty with two verses. One verse is 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the word of God. Now the Armenian version has it, rightly explaining the word of God. And she said, there's no word for dividing. So we thought about what to do with that and how to translate it without adding a whole lot of words to it. So the best one is explaining. That's the best you can do out of the Armenian. But in English and in Greek, we can be very precise to the person, to the tense, to the number, to the meaning. See? And even in English, we can improve that a little bit more. The other one was, there's no word for begat. Abraham birthed Isaac. A new thing under the sun. And in trying to translate 1 John 3:8, where it is that we have been begotten and we have the seed of the Father within us. Now you see, in English, we can really understand that. But in Armenian, it's almost impossible to translate. And she also said, Dave, since you know about Russian and are Russian, that in Russian, it's the same way as Armenian. They don't have a word for beget. So, having it in English today is a great blessing. And what did English turn out to be worldwide? A world language. So you see, God has done all of these things, even in the secular world. God is interested in the whole world, all people, all nations, not just a little church, not just a little group, not, you know, those things. But he has always said there is a remnant that he works with. It's like he told Elijah, when Elijah, after God showing that he was God versus the priest of Baal, and, you know, Elijah gave that short prayer and fire came down from heaven, devoured the whole water-soaked offering and even the stones and licked the water up, you know, and everyone said, God is God. See, because just like all Israelites, before that began, he asked the Israelites, how long are you going to be divided between two opinions? Is Baal God or is the Lord God? And actually the Hebrew means jumping back and forth. See? And that's the way Israelites are. Oh, we want to go do the pleasurable things. Oh, but when we're in trouble, God bless America, God save us, you know, and all this sort of thing. So, anyway, let's come to Deuteronomy 15. And let's begin, not 15, rather 18. I want the verse 15. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. Now here's a prophecy. Because you see, there is a continuity from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and that's what we need to see first. Verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, one like me. Now what was Moses? Number one, he was ruler and high priest until Aaron was installed. He was mediator between God and the people. He was given the laws and commandments of God to give to the people. So he is mediator, he is lawgiver. He's also judge and everything else like that. Now notice the next sentence. To him you shall hearken. Now we retained the word hearken instead of listen because today people can do other things while they're listening to music, etc., etc., and listen does not have the impact as hearken. And hearken means listen to hear to do. And we will see the prophecy that Jesus spoke of, showed that it was fulfilled. To him you shall hearken. Now let's continue on verse 16. According to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, so that I do not die. And the Lord said to me, they have spoken well what they have spoken. In other words, they're well-intentioned. But also this shows you something very important. And it substantiates something in the New Testament, doesn't it? Now let me explain that, which is this. Let me not hear the voice of the Lord anymore. Question. What does it say about the unconverted carnal mind? Romans 8:7. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now that's the unconverted mind. Another thing to remember here concerning the Old Testament is that there is not a promise of eternal life. Many people assume that from Adam and Eve to Noah, there was one means of attaining eternal life. Not so. From Noah down through Abraham, there was another means. From Abraham down to Isaac and Jacob and on down to the children of Israel, the giving of the law, now here is another means to eternal life. But what you need to do is examine carefully the Old Testament, especially Deuteronomy 28. Because in there, you find not one promise of eternal life. Not one. So that is a major mistake. Because if they were offered eternal life, there would be no need for Christ to come. And people were not given the promise of eternal life, nor the Holy Spirit, until after Christ's ministry, death and resurrection, ascension to heaven, and showing himself to the apostles for 40 days and 40 nights, and then 10 days after that, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Now the Holy Spirit could be with them, and in the prophets, and in Moses, we find in 1 Peter that they had the Spirit of Christ in them. They are the only ones out of the Old Testament who are going to receive eternal life. Moses, Samuel, Noah, the prophets, some of the kings. We know David will be there. There's a question, what's going to happen to Solomon? There's no, you know, you read about Solomon and, you know, it doesn't show there was any repentance. So it leaves a question mark in your mind. What's going to happen to Solomon? Okay. Now, let's continue on here. Verse 18. I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, one like you, and put my words in his mouth. I will see where that is fulfilled. And he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass, whatever man will not hearken to my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now this is a prophecy of a much more stringent penalty for refusing this prophesied prophet. So we begin with Moses. Then we have this prophet. Now also notice, verse 20. But the prophet who shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. So the sentence and the warning there is really quite something. All right, now let's come to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And we're going to see something very important for us to understand concerning that prophet. Gospel of John, chapter 1. All right? And we'll also see some other things in relationship to Christ a little later on. John, the first chapter. Now let's come to verse 14. This is talking about, and we'll see a little later, that prophet, and that the apostles understood he was that prophet. And when did they get the understanding concerning that? All right. Verse 14. And the word became flesh. And I just read from a minister who says, well, Jesus did not exist, and he was only human, and he did not exist until he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And I've got this book. You can read all about it. I thought, well, why don't you read the Bible and find out what it says first? All right. And tabernacled among us. And I retained the word tabernacled because that is referring to the Feast of Tabernacles. And tabernacle means to temporarily dwell. And God wants to dwell with his people. That's the whole purpose, starting with Adam and Eve, going clear to the end. And new heavens and new earth. And we ourselves beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Protestants will read that and say, that's what we need, grace and truth. We don't need the law. And as I read yesterday concerning what Justin, one of the early church fathers, wrote, he said that God gave the laws and commandments in the Old Testament to the Jews because of their disobedience, and it was a curse upon them. That was right from Samuel Bakayoko's book, Judaism. I forget the name of it right now, but it was Anti-Judaism and the Origin of Sunday. See, that's why they hated the Sabbath. See, and that's why it's convenient for people to believe, well, the New Testament wasn't written until several hundred years after the apostles. It was just passed down by word of mouth. And so all of these things are contrived. Whereas the truth is, the internal evidence of the Bible is that the apostles wrote it. They preserved it. And John and those with him, probably Mark and Philip, maybe Andrew, they are the ones who canonized it. God would not leave it to unconverted pagan priests from Mithra and Baal, who became the early church fathers of the Roman Catholic Church, to leave it to them to write the New Testament. Now, they came along and preserved it. Not preserved it. They came along and perverted it after God had already had it finalized by the Apostle John. So when John is writing this, this really becomes important for us to understand. Okay? Full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John testified concerning him and proclaimed, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has precedence over me, because he was before me, with the implied meaning, existed before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. That's why I've been going through the series, God's grace and commandment keeping. Because far from doing away with the laws of God, in the New Testament, we fulfill the laws of God and keep them through the grace of God, which comes from the Spirit of God. See? Now, verse 17. Now, in the paperback version, because of the sermons I've been giving recently concerning God's grace and commandment keeping, we made one little minor change in this verse, so you can notice. For the law was given through Moses. Now we have the little italicized word but. So that means that was added for clarification. And we have changed that now to read, and the grace and the truth came through Jesus Christ, rather than but, as if there is a conflict between them, see, because there really isn't. Now let's come up here to verse 19, or come down to verse 19. This is the testimony of John. Now notice what happened. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now let's have a little background to this question. Remember how Gabriel gave the promise of his son to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, when he was offering incense in the temple. Remember that? Yes. And remember what he asked the angel. He said, now how are we going to have a son when I'm old and my wife is old? And Gabriel told him, because you didn't believe me. So if an angel comes along and gives you a message, you better say, yes, sir, right away. Okay? Gabriel said, because you didn't believe me, you're going to be deaf and dumb until the days, you know, till after he's born. And all the people were out there wondering, why is the priest in there? Because, see, they hadn't had a vision from God in over 200 years. And they were expecting the Messiah any time. So they wondered, why doesn't he come out? So he came out, and he couldn't tell them a single thing. You know, what was that? You know, what do they call that game? Charades? Yeah, you try and act it out so people try and understand it. Okay? So all the people are wondering, what's this? And don't you think through all the priesthood now, this was talked about? They knew. Then when John the Baptist was born, on the day that he was named, on the day of circumcision, his tongue was loosed and he spoke and prophesied concerning that this is the one that was sent to be a messenger before the Lord. Just summarize it. Now, so you have a background as to why the priests and Levites would go to John the Baptist. Number one, he was the son of the priest, right? He was never trained as a priest. He never went to the priest school to learn. He never went to the temple one time in his entire life. And yet here he is out there baptizing and preaching. And you can read of that in Matthew 3 and Luke 3. So they wanted to know who he was. And remember, he had a Nazarite vow from conception. So that he was not to drink any wine, eat anything of the vine, and he was not to drink strong drink, and he was to let his hair grow. So here's a man, not cutting his hair, and I picture him as a redhead, fiery red hair, and believe it or not, I've met Jews who are redheaded, okay? Red hair, bushy eyebrows, big bushy beard, and he had this leather clothing on him, you know, and he's down at the Jordan rather than up at the temple. So they come down and they ask him, who are you? Verse 20, then he freely admitted and did not deny, but declared, I am not the Christ. Now, why would he say that if they were not expecting the Christ to show up? Remember in Matthew, the second chapter, when the wise men came after the birth of Jesus? And Herod called together the priests and Levites and wanted to know, well, where does the Bible say that, you know, he was going to be born? They said, in Bethlehem. We'll take a break here in just a second. So they knew. They were expecting. That's why they asked this question. And he said, I'm not the Christ. What does this also tell us? That the Christ was not a natural birth, doesn't it? Was John a natural birth? Yes. Verse 21. And they asked him, who are you then? Are you Elijah? Now, why would they ask that? Because Malachi 4 said that Elijah was going to come before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, right? And also, Malachi 4:4, the last words that were in the prophets of the Old Testament, it says, remember the law of Moses. Now, when you get the new book on Judaism and you see the Hebrew letters in shadow, in background, the background of the cover of the book, you won't have to wonder what those words say. It says, remember the law of Moses, because Judaism has forgotten it. See, they like to claim that Judaism is the law of Moses, and that's why there is so much confusion as to, well, which law should we keep when it comes to Protestantism? So he answered them, I am not. See, now lots of times when someone is fulfilling an office and service that God has raised him up to do, he doesn't know who he is, spiritually speaking, before God. Because Jesus, after taking Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, on the way down, after seeing in vision Jesus glorified and Moses and Elijah with him, now, that was to give them equal status with Moses, who saw God, at least the backside of the glorified one who became Jesus Christ. See, so there's a lot in the Bible in the way of teaching and learning and why these things were done, see. So when they were coming down off the mountain, Jesus said, John the Baptist was Elijah, even though John the Baptist didn't know it. Very interesting, isn't it? When you look at people today, they like to claim offices. There's a man who says, I am that prophet. Really? How many have come and said, I'm Elijah? Okay? Well, I'll tell you a story of Elijah, then we'll take a break. In Israel, which really is the unholy land because of all of its blood and war and hatred going on there, the Jews have a lot of would-be prophets coming to Israel so that they can preach God. And they have a special task force to handle them. And so here was one of the men working on that task force, and they had a man who came to the Hotel David, and he said, I'm Elijah. And what they do is try and resolve it peacefully without any confrontations and so forth. So they had a fairly good day, and they were to meet again the next day. Well, in the meantime, the one who was Elijah went to his hotel room, and he was there and stayed there at night. And in the morning, the detective was given another assignment of a man who had just come to Israel who said he was Elijah. So, when he got together for breakfast, he had both men there. And he said, Elijah, I would like you to meet Elijah. The sum of the matter being this. Don't exalt yourself to any office, because if you do, you're in trouble with God. Just do what God gives you to do as God leads you with His Spirit. So we'll take a break and come back.